the clean fun in the Lord, isn't it? Well, good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. I hope you come to receive something from God today. And not listen to the speaker, but to listen to God's word. Because that's what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you what God has given me. I like that song they sung. Amazing Grace. My chains are gone. I've been set free. Praise God. How many of you have been set free this morning? Yes, indeed. We've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. It wasn't with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of God's own Son, Jesus Christ, that we've been set free. Praise His holy name for the things that He's done for us and the things that He's going to do. You know, it's enough to just praise God that we've been set free from the tyranny of sin. Yes, indeed. All of that depression and anxiety that we had built up in us, and Christ comes along. Isn't it amazing what He can do? You know, we can't do that for ourselves. We can't change ourselves. We can destroy ourselves, but we can't change ourselves. And God, through His infinite mercy, when we call upon Him, He comes along and He makes us a brand new person in Him. Praise God. Brand new. Totally different from what we used to be. Amazing, isn't it? A miracle. And people say, I've never seen a miracle. Well, you're looking at one. The Word of God says that's the greatest miracle of all, the saving of one soul. Yes, indeed. So don't tell people you haven't seen a miracle. They said, do you believe in miracles? Yes, I believe in miracles. We have a church full. There's people all over the world that are miracles. God has changed their lives. They have been set free from those chains that bound them, from the world that had a hold on them, the enemy of our soul that had a hold on them. They've been set free from that today. You know what? That ought to strike some joy in your heart. How many of you got joy in your heart this morning? Let me see you stand up and give God some praise then if you got joy. All right. Praise God. Woo, praise His holy name. Thank you, Jesus. We have something to shout about, don't we? You know, some churches you can't do this in, and I'm not throwing off on other churches, man. If they want to be quiet, that's okay. But you know what the Word of God says? He said, I heard the voice of many waters, like it was a rushing of many waters. It was the voices of the saints praising God. Hallelujah. You're going to praise God in heaven. Sure you are. So why not praise Him a little bit? Why not give Him a little glory while you're here? It might rub off on somebody. And if somebody makes fun of you, don't you just look over at them and say, are you making fun of me? No, I'm not making fun of you, but I've never seen nobody get excited like you before. Well, that's just good, because I've got something to be excited about. Have you got anything to be excited about this morning? Yes, you do. You've been set free, haven't you? You've been set free from that sin and that guilt that had a grip on your life, that was dragging you down into that bottomless pit. And God come along and broke that chain of those fetters that had you bound and set you free. Praise God. I thank God today for that I am saved. I thank Him that I have a hope in Him and in Him alone. Turn with me today to Psalms 124. I'm sorry. If you've seen your bulletin today, you will see the scripture that I'm going to use today. I'm going to read the whole psalm, but I want to concentrate on that one, those two last two verses, verse 7 and 8. Everybody's there. Well, let's bow our head. Father, thank You for today, Father. Thank You for Your word, for Your word is real and mighty and powerful, Lord, sharper than any two-edged sword, Father. And Lord, we thank You today that we can look to Your word, Father, and that we can find love and mercy and grace, God, in our time of need and our time of trouble, that we can come to You, God, and know with the surety, Father, that You hear and answer our prayers. And Father, we pray that You would be with us today as we share this word, Father. God, that You would anoint Your servant with the power of the Holy Ghost to speak Your word with that of the wisdom and the anointing of the Spirit, not that of man, Father, that I may be found pleasing in your sight and rightly divide your word today, God. And Father, that we may glean from your word that which you would have for us to know today, God, and show us how it applies to our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, Psalms 124 says, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say. Love and truth community this morning. If the Lord had not been on your side, let us say. Praise God. Is the Lord on your side this morning? You sure? All right, I like that assurance stuff. If the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they could have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrents would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. This is painting a picture of somebody that's in distress, isn't it? And they seem to think that this David wrote this psalm right after the attack of the Philistines, when David had just been anointed king, and the Philistines had them there, and they was going to attack them, and the word came to David that they was going to be attacked. So the Philistines went out, and they spread theirself out like a net. They spread theirself out like ready to attack David and his army. They wanted to destroy him there. The Israelites a lot of times found themselves in these ways. They found themselves a lot of times under attack. They found a lot of times that people were coming against them. And you know what? People come against us a lot of times, don't they? The world is coming against the Christian people today. We're finding that out more and more. The Christian people are under attack. Not so much as we see over in the third world countries, but here it's starting to flare up here as well. From our own people. Sometimes it's within that we get attacked. You ever been attacked from another Christian? Yes, indeed, we do sometimes, don't we? I worked with a man one time, and every time I would go to talk to somebody about the Lord, he would always rebuke something that I'd said. Always giving me a hard time. He was supposed to be a Christian. That's what he said he was. So finally one day I had to just, you know, I had to take him to the side. You know how you take your kids to the side sometimes when they're cutting up. You know, you snatch them up a little bit and you take them outside and you give them, you know, you give them a little lecture. If you don't behave yourself, I'm going to give you a killing when I get you home. Now, my mother had that look. Boy, she could turn around and give me that look like this. You know what that said? You're gonna get a killing when you get home. See, I learned how to sign language years ago. I could read it. I knew what that woman was like. Well, I took him to the bathroom. That's the only place I knew I could get alone with him. I didn't want to scold him too bad in front of everybody. So I went in there and told him. I said, "Look, we're fighting the same battle, man. The main object is getting these people to God. Let's let theology stay out of this. These people are unsaved. We need to let light shine in here amongst these people and not be arguing back and forth, because if we can't get along, then what are they going to think? If people see you doing things and you professing to be a Christian, what do you think? I don't want none of that. You don't have to do those things. But you see, God was on Israel's side and God's on your side. Regardless of what man says or what anybody says, just remember one thing. God is on your side, and if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can separate us from God's love? Nothing. We have to give our hearts to Him. We have to serve Him. And in doing so, God's benefits are wonderful, aren't they? Yes, they are. His protection is great. We find the Israelites here, they were fixing to get attacked. And David prayed to God, and he asked the Lord, "What do you want me to do, God?" And they attacked him. And the next thing you know, they had regrouped, and the Philistines regrouped, and they was going to attack again. And David prayed to God. This time, God gave him a different instruction. You see, they felt trapped. They felt like it, that, you know, they didn't know what they was going to do. They had walked into a trap. Sometimes we walk into traps, don't we? The enemy lays those snares before us. And this is what verse 7 tells us here. He said, though verse 6 says, praise be to God the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. Verse 7 says, we have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God said, David, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go around behind them this time. And he says, and I want you to wait for my instructions. You know, that's the first mistake we make a lot of times in our life. We don't wait for God's instructions. We don't listen to what God says. We read the word, but we don't take heed to the word. And a lot of times we found ourselves in the Satan's snares. Once we've been set free, we want to go back to that snare. And the word of God says that God told him, says, David, he called it a balsam tree, but it's called a mulberry tree also. He says, when you see the rustling in the mulberry tree and the leaves, he said, know this, I'm there, and I'm going to get them from the front. You close in on them. They were trapped. They had God in front and David's army in the back, and God set them free. Yes, he did. He set those Israelites free. Have you been set free today? I'd like to talk to you a little bit about that seventh verse. We have escaped like a bird out of the snare of the fowler. Now, who's the fowler? The enemy of our soul. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. It goes a little bit further than that. He goes on in 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It didn't say he was an angel of light. He said he masquerades as an angel of light. This is the fowler. This is the one that catches, that sets the snare. Back in Palestine, they had people that were hired to do these things. They were called fowlers. They would lay traps and set traps, and they would catch these birds, and they would use these birds, some for the table, some for the sacrifice in the temple. They were used for various things. Now, somebody told me one time, and I haven't studied up on it, but you know where the scripture talks about being more than a sparrow, I can't remember the scripture right now, But anyway, what it's talking about the birds there, they would roast them things on a stick. And you go through the market and you could buy them. And just, you know how we eat our shish kebabs. You could eat I've never eat a bird shish kebab. I don't know if I'd like it or not. Now, I do like quail. And I do like rabbits. And I do know how to set a snare. I used to set them many years ago. And oh, boy, the benefit of setting that snare and catching that rabbit in that snare. Oh, I'm telling you, when I got up for school the next day, after I done cleaned that rabbit up and my mama had soaked him, we had a wood cook stove and an old black iron skillet, and that thing would be loaded down with gravy and rabbits. And I'm telling you, I had me a feast before I would go to school. But that rabbit, it wasn't too good for the rabbit because he'd been caught in the snare. And it was it for him. Sometimes I'd set traps for him, and I'd catch him alive. Sometimes he had a little hole in that box, but that was to look in and make sure it was a rabbit and make sure it wasn't anything black and white in there. Because once you opened that door, you was exposed. Your face was exposed, and you had to be careful. But the point is, the snare was set. The fowler, the enemy of our soul. And Jesus, he gives him another name. He says in John 8:44, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He is a murderer from the beginning and not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, and he is a liar and the father of liars. He sets the trap for you. Let me tell you something. Many years ago, I had a preacher's wife come to me. She says, I want to tell you something. She said, the devil has desired to sift you as wheat. You be careful. You see, Jesus told Peter the same thing. He told Peter, I've prayed for you. Let me tell you something. You think you're not you're exempt from the snares and the tricks and the wiles of the enemy. You're not. You can fall into that trap too. You say, well, how do we fall into those traps? By the cares of this world. By giving into the lust of the flesh. By dabbling in things that we shouldn't be dabbling in. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you like dessert? You know what your favorite dessert is? I'll give you a good example. My wife bought a pie home the other day. And it had three different kinds of pies in it. You can look and tell I got a hold to it. I began to cut a little bit of it off. I said, I can't eat much of this. I got to lose some weight. I can't eat much of this. And I began to get me a little, get me a little piece like that. And boy, I went and sat down and I ate that. And you know what? That taste just filled my mouth and my nostrils. My taste buds went wild. The next thing you know, I said, the heck with it. I went in there and got me a sauce and I got me a big piece of pie. And I sat down and ate it. How many of you know that's the way the devil does us? He knows what your weakness is. He knows the bait to use on you. He knows the weaknesses that we have. He knows what God delivered you from. And if you don't be careful with what you are doing, he will set that snare, and the first thing you know, you'll be dabbling around in it a little bit. Something that God has set you free from, why would you want to go back into those things? Why would you want to get entangled in that again when God has already set you free? You know what it does for you? It causes you to stumble and fall. It causes you to lose a little fellowship with God. And you begin to lay off on the Bible reading. It don't look as important anymore as it did at one time. And your prayer life wanes. That word wane, let me explain that. Because I was preaching one time and I used that word. And they said, what is wane? It's W-A-I-N, not W-A-Y-N-E, not a man's name. But it means weak. It means weak. My daughter asked me that question. I'm going to tell on her right now. What do you mean by wane? That means weak. We become weak in those areas. God has set you free. Why do you want to go back to it? Let me tell you something. When I was a kid, we'd set these snares, and I knew just what them things liked. They liked onions, and they liked apples. And boy, my dad would tell me, he showed me exactly how to do that thing. We would set the snares or the box traps, and I'd take an apple and rub it all over the door. Oh, it was enticing. Or either I'd run it up and down the string and on the sticks for the snare. Now, if he got in the snare, he was dead. But if he got in the box, I had to kill him. But I would rub that there. And it was set on a well-worn path that we knew that these rabbits would come down. And when they would come down through there at night, that aroma would catch them of that apple or those onions. And the next thing you know, they were caught up in that thing, and they just couldn't pull themselves free. You see, we know better. We know what God's Word says, but a lot of times we don't heed to what the warnings that God puts out to us. We know better than to do these things. But yet we just say, well, I won't get caught. Oh, yes, you will get caught. You've already been caught because God knows what you're doing. You can't hide from God. You can't run from him. He knows the intents and the very thoughts that you're thinking this morning. So we start to dabble a little bit. Oh, I won't get caught. Nobody will see me. Oh, yes. Sooner or later, somebody's going to see you. How many of you cook, like to cook? I'm going to tell on myself now. I'm not going to tell on anybody else. Now, when I cook, I use real wine. I don't drink it. I use it to cook with. Because if you will look at the salt contents on cooking wine, you will understand why I don't use it. If you've got any kind of coronary artery disease, you lay away from that stuff. It's full of sodium and salt. So I use the real stuff to cook with. So I told my wife one day, I got this good recipe, but it calls for real wine. I don't want to go in the store. Just because as soon as I go in there, somebody's going to come in there that knows me and see me with that bottle of wine and think I'm drinking it. So I decided I'm going to put it in the bottom of the basket. Kind of camouflage it a little bit. That's the way we are. You know, we think that sometimes. We think, oh, well, you know, I can get away with it this time. Or, you know, I can make it, you know, make it look not so suspicious. So I put the wine down in the bottom of the basket, and we're running around, and lo and behold, I go around the corner, and who do I run into? But one of the members of the church. Right dead on the next corner, I run into them. And they're guilty. I'm just using it for cooking. That's all I'm using it for. That's the way we are, aren't we? Sure we are. God has set you free from these things. Paul says that this is what you used to be. When God, through his amazing grace, come and broke you free from the fowler's snare, he set you free from that. Don't go back to it. Leave it alone. Stay away from it. You know what your weakness is. You know where you stand. Stay away from those things. The Word of God teaches us to flee from those things. Run from them. How many of you know a good run's better than a bad stand any day? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I've had a run some in my life, especially when I had to look up to them like that, and I thought, uh-oh, this ain't going to be good for me. See you later. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes centered upon the Word of God and watch what God does for you. For the sinful nation, Galatians 5:17-21 says, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are. He gives a list of these things. Paul gives a whole list of them. It's like an icon on a computer. You click the icon, and you click on that icon, and right to the right of it, you get a list of stuff that falls under that category. He only gives you the icons. But let me tell you something. You can search through God's words and you can find the list that goes right along with those icons. He said they're obvious. I mean, he says they're obvious. He says sexual immorality, one of the biggest problems that we have in our country today. One of the biggest, besides people not accepting Christ. Impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft. We don't have witchcraft in our country. Oh, I beg to differ with you. Oh, black magic and witchcraft is very prevalent in our country today. I had a cousin one time. You see, I can talk about these people. My cousin don't come here and his mom and dad's dead. So you can go tell what you want to. They're not going to listen to you. And you don't know who my cousin is, so I don't care. He was into witchcraft. He was into black magic. Oh, he would show me these drawings. Man, he was a great artist. But everything that he drew happened to deal with death. Black hearses, horse-drawn hearses, and graveyards and stuff like that. Man, he made me feel eerie just to walk around him sometime. Well, his mama got to praying for him. So she says, I know what I'll do. I'm going to take that anointing oil home with me, and I'm going to start anointing everything in the house and praying. And she did. She would anoint the doorknobs going into his room. She anointed the doorpost. Everything in the bathroom, she knew he was going to touch. And she began to pray and seek God for him. She said, he come in one day and told us, somebody ain't cleaning in here. Like it's all over everything. But I can tell you one thing, it won't long before God delivered him out of that. Yes, indeed. Let me tell you something. You want God to move, you start praying. You do the unthinkable. You do what people are not expecting you to do. Let me tell you something. The enemy of your soul, when you're out in the crowd, the enemy said, now don't you go up there and tell them about Jesus because they're going to laugh at you. Do the unexpected and go up there and say, ha, 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 watch this. Hey, do you know Jesus as your Savior? And watch the response that you get. I might have told you this, but I'm going to tell you again because the Holy Spirit brought it to my mind. We was on a cruise ship having a ball. I come down through that old long haul and I got to singing. Oh happy day, when Jesus washed, he washed my sins away. About that time, three little girls stuck a head at the door and they started chiming in with me. Yes, indeed. Their mom said, oh, you have to excuse them. I said, no, let them sing. You never know what you're going to spark by letting your light shine for Jesus Christ. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You have been set free from the snare of the fowler. And it's time for you to stand up and give God some glory. It's time for us to get to our feet and give God the glory that he deserves. Not hide that thing. How was we set free? Listen to the 8th verse here. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Who is our help? Jesus. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Nitzu. Jehovah Shalom. Prince of Peace, Counselor, Mighty God. That's who has set you free. And if the Son of God sets you free, you're free indeed. Let the world have the world. Stay away from it. Because it has nothing to offer you but heartache and sorrow. You've tried everything to have peace in your heart and your life, and you can't find peace. You can't find joy. You can't have happiness because you are in the snare of the fowler, and you need Jesus Christ to set you free. And let me tell you something. You will get the peace and the joy that you're so longing to have. Walked in the girl's room in the hospital. Somebody called me and said, go see this girl. She tried to commit suicide. I went in and talked to her. You ever notice how the old devil, you go to somebody and you want to talk to him, the old devil, he's going to rear his old head. He's going to try to get a foot in the door somewhere to block you. That's when you have to over-talk him. You know, that we got people like that. They want to, you can't get a word in edgewise. That you have to over-talk them. You do. You just have to butt right in. You got to be like a billy goat and butt in. Her uncle was there. And I'm trying to talk to her because I want to tell you something about this young lady. Her and her husband, which she was divorced from, but before they got a divorce, she wanted another child. Her son had gotten killed. And she had another daughter, but she wanted another child. They couldn't have any children. So they come to church one Sunday morning, and they come to the altar. We were praying. We'd come to the altar, and we'd pray for people. Anybody needs prayer? Come on up. So she walked up to me. She says, I want you to pray for me. I said, all right, honey, what you want me to pray for? I said, if you want to tell me, that's okay. If you don't, that's all right. God knows. She said, no, I'm going to tell you. She said, me and my husband want to have another child. She said, I'm going to have my tubes untied. And they told me it was likely that it wouldn't happen. I said, okay. So we prayed. And it wasn't long before she was going to have another child. Praise God. God answered a prayer. But she never raised that child in church. And there she lay. And I reminded her of that day, what God had done for her, how he had set her free. Now she had been entangled again. She had gotten back in that trap. And I reminded her of that. And I began to talk to her uncle. He would butt in on me, and I'd just have over talking. And I said, honey, you need Jesus. No, she said, I need a man. I said, what can a man do for you that Jesus can't? And she got carnal with me. I said, honey, you're carnal minded it now. I said, you need Jesus. You're not going to have any happiness. You're not going to have any joy in your life till you turn to Jesus. You can run all you want to. You can try all the things that this world has to offer you, but you're not going to find happiness there. It's not there. You're not going to find it in another person until you come to Jesus Christ and let God fix you up with the right person. You see, he'll do that. He'll do that. Leave the world alone. Because there's nothing out there. That's the devil's domain. Leave it alone. Don't dabble in these things, because sooner or later you're going to get caught. Just like the snare we used to set. Oh, here the rabbit would come, and he'd smell that apple, and the next thing you know, he just couldn't stand it no longer. That temptation was too great. He just wanted to get him a little bite of it. He'd go around. When he got that little bite, that noose was put out just like that. And it had a trigger there, and a fork, and a trigger would come out like that, and the apple was on it. Whenever he grabbed that apple and pull it, that noose would come up, run around his neck, and he was trapped. There was nothing he could do. He was gone. But you know what? God has set us free, hasn't he? That's what his word says. God has set us free. Those Philistines had those Israelites surrounded, but God delivered them. And God will deliver you this morning if you allow him to. If you will turn your eyes to Jesus Christ and quit leaning to your own understanding and let God move in and through your life and your heart and your soul and your mind. 1 John 2:15-17 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has done, does come not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. You're going to get caught. You're going to walk into that snare and you're going to get caught. And it takes God to set you free. We depend too much on the world, the things of the world. We don't depend on God like we used to. It's amazing to me. I'm just so amazed that when I listen to people talk about the things of God and the things of the world, how that anymore we want to be like the world. We want them to know that, oh, we love them. You want to let them know that you love them? You tell them about Jesus Christ and the love that he has for them and what he did for them and what he did for you. It's good to go out and witness. We need to witness. And we need to go out on the streets. We need to knock doors. We need to take every opportunity that we can, but stay out of those places that you have no business in. I was sitting in a Baptist church one time, and I heard a preacher saying, this is what he said. I'm repeating exactly what he said. I had been invited to a Baptist church by a friend of mine that I work with. I like what he told me. He said, Fred, now I want to invite you to our revival. I said, okay. He said, now, I want to tell you now, this preacher gets a little excited, so don't get nervous. I said, oh, I won't get nervous. So I did. The man, I'm telling you, that man had that anointing all over him, man, when he preached. That dude would come off that platform and he'd romp down the aisles and he would preach, man, I'm telling you, man. Oh, you know how it is when man, you heard people talk about it, you can feel a hair stand up on the back of your head and stuff like that. I'm telling you, man, that man put out the word of God. This is what he said. He pointed, and I knew where he was talking about. I knew where he was at. He said, there's a dance hall right over there. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, I have no business in that place. He said, and you, child of God, don't have no business in that place. He said, I'll tell you what you do. You go over there tonight and you take your wife with you. He said, when old Bubba comes over there and reaches down and tells your wife, come on, dance with me. He said, you're going to get up and you're going to give him a right hand of fellowship. You have no place in there. Stay out of those places, he said. Now, I'm going to tell you what I say. I back him up 100%. Stay out of those places. God delivered you from that stuff. Why do you want to go back into it? Why would you want to dabble around in sin again when God has set you free? You knew what it took for God to break that sin. You know what it took. How many of you ever had habits? Yeah, you have. Don't raise your hand. Those people will be saying, I think I'm going to have a habit. It's a good thing God keeps everything in secret, don't he? Just between him and us. Yes, indeed. You have to watch what you say sometimes and what you say to people and what God has delivered you from. Oh, did you hear that? I didn't know that scandal was like that. People want it. Instead of giving God some praise, say, hey, look, I knew that man right there. I knew him years ago, and God has cleaned his life up. I was just reminded of this yesterday. I had somebody come to me and said, man, I tell you what, I was somewhere the other day and he was talking about a friend of mine that had let his foot slip. Many years ago, he let his foot slip. And this man was telling me, he said, man, I'll tell you one thing. He said, now every time I see him, I'm going to be reminded, because the person that this man let his foot slip with told this person. He wanted me to make a comment about it. And the only comment I could tell him was, let me tell you something. Yeah, I know all about that. I said, God's forgiven him. I said, and I can't say anything about him either. And none of us could say anything about anybody. Because God has delivered us from things in our lives. There have been times in our life that we let our foot slip. Like Ron said this morning, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. But we have a Heavenly Father that we can go to, and if we sin, we can ask forgiveness. And know with a surety that he forgives us. Yes, indeed. Thank God for such a loving Heavenly Father. He can look beyond our faults and our downfalls and see our needs. That was the end of that conversation. I said, I'm not saying anything about that. I said, I know that man has asked forgiveness. Well, I know it, but every time I see him, I said, I'm telling you something. You need to let it go. Because God has forgiven it. I wanted to tell him, and I didn't. You know, you know how you talk to people and you can think of everything after you're gone. I wanted to say, it's not what he's doing. It's what you're doing. Because you see, you're going to stand before God and you're going to give account for everything that you've done while you was on this earth. You're going to stand before God and stand alone. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing or what somebody else is getting away with. The guy in the 73rd Psalm, he had gotten his eyes on the wicked. He said, I almost let my foot slip. I almost turned my back on God because I was watching other people and what they were doing. He said, until I come to my senses and realize what their demise was going to be and what mine was. Watch out for the snares and the traps. You know good and well that you shouldn't be doing something because you are checked in your spirit by the Holy Spirit. And when that check comes, you better heed to it. When that little red flag goes up and says, you shouldn't be here, you shouldn't do this, you better not do it. You better take warning. But oh, I like that last verse. We have been set free. Yes, indeed, by the maker of heaven and earth, our Lord and our Savior, our soon coming King, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, has set us free. And you know what? If you're in here this morning, he wants to set you free. If you've been going through things in your life and you think that there is no more help for me, there's no more hope for me, I've got news for you. There's hope today. And it's called Jesus Christ. Well, I don't know if I'm ready to serve that. Then there's no more hope for you until you come to him. You're gonna wallow around in the muck and mire, and you're going to go through those things until you give your life to Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you. I'm giving you a good example this morning. I'm speaking from experience this morning. I was miserable, undone, wretched. But one night, God reached down his hand, and he picked me up out of that miry clay. And he set my feet upon a solid rock. And he put a song in my heart and a praise upon my lips. As the psalmist said, he has become my song and my salvation. Hallelujah, and my strength. Praise God. To God be the glory. Man can't do that for you. Only God can do that. My Lord and my Savior has set you free. Stay free in him. Let the things of the world pass you right on by. Pay no attention to that stuff. Have nothing to do with those things. You know what it's like to be in that snare. Why would you go looking around again for the bait? You've been set free. Hebrews 12:1 says the sin that entangles us. You've been set free from those things. 2 Peter says that once you obtain the knowledge of God and you are entangled again with the things of the world, you're 10 times worse off than you were when you started. I can't imagine being 10 times worse than what I was when I first started. I can't imagine it. But that's what the Word of God says. Praise be to God. We can come to Him and call on Him and be set free by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Now, sometimes these are not popular messages that God gives us to preach. But you know what? We've got to do what God tells us to do. Sometimes God will tell you to go somebody and tell somebody something. You better go tell them. You better do what he says do. I'm going to give you a good example of that, and then I'm going to close. I want you to think about this today. God told a man, he says, I want you to go into this city. The Old Testament. He said, I want you to go in this city and I want you to prophesy. I don't want you to leave the way you went in. I want you to leave the opposite direction. I don't want you to eat nothing or talk to nobody. You go in, deliver the message and get out. Plain and simple, isn't it? Yeah, Lord, I can do that. I can handle that, Lord. But when the man got in there and he delivered the message, when he started out, another man come to him, told him, he said, you know what, I'm a prophet too. I'm a prophet just like you. He says, why don't you just come on home and spend the night with me, man? It's so late and you're tired. Why don't you come go with me? You got to remember, God told him not to talk to nobody and not to stay in that town, didn't he? Not to eat nothing, but to leave the opposite direction he went. So the man thought to himself, oh, well, what would it hurt? That's the way we are. Oh, what will it hurt? And the Word of God says that a lion attacked him. He was on his donkey, and a lion attacked him and killed him. And the donkey and the lion both were standing side by side looking at the man in the room. Disobedient unto God. Do what God tells you to do. Be obedient unto him and to his calling. When God knocks at your heart's door, you in here today and you don't know Jesus Christ and God's calling you, don't put it off. Don't put it off. You might not have another tomorrow. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. You might think, well, you're offending me. The Word of God says it's an offense to those that disbelieve. It's an offense to the sinner. I'm asking you today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior and Lord, I want everybody to stand to their feet this morning. I want you to bow your heads, and I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to pray, and I want you to seek God, because I know there's people here this morning that don't know Jesus as their Savior. I know there's people here. And I know there's people here this morning that you've been dabbling around in the things of the world. Because if you weren't, God wouldn't give me this message to preach this morning. God knows what we have need of. Maybe you're contemplating going back to the things of the world. Maybe you've let your foot slip a little bit this morning. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, I won't get caught. Oh, you're going to get caught. Be sure your sins will find you out. That's what the Word says. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Nobody looking around this morning. This is personal with you and God. If you're one of those people this morning, I want you to slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. Don't put it off. Get things right with God now. Today is the day of salvation. That's what the Word teaches us. You're here this morning, you need prayer. I want you to slip your hand up. You need Jesus in your heart and your life this morning. You're tired of being pushed around by the world. You're tired of being having all of that depression and anger built up in you. You're tired of not having the joy that you want to have in your life. You're tired of those things. You see, I want to introduce you to the joy maker this morning. His name is Jesus Christ, God's Son. But I know what you're thinking, but I'll have to change my lifestyle. Oh, yeah, you'll have to change it a little bit. He said, let those that steal, steal no more. God wants to give you peace in your heart today. He wants to bring joy, unspeakable joy, unto you if you will allow him to do it. I'm not going to linger on this morning. I'm going to ask you today, I want you to step out of your pews this morning. You need Jesus. You need prayer for anything this morning. You come on, we got people who are going to pray for you this morning. Ron's here. We got Robbie over here. We got different ones will pray for you. There's Ben back there pray for you. Different ones that would love to pray for you. I want to introduce you to Jesus Christ, the one that can set you free from the snare of the fowler and make your life something different. Make your life new. There's a little tune we used to sing years ago. I don't know if I got the voice to do it this morning. I've been battling a little sinus and a little dryness there. But I'm going to try my best to get that little tune out. My soul escapes like a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and I have escaped. My help is in the name of the Lord. The snare is broken and I have escaped. My help is in the name of the Lord. Come on, sing it with me this morning. While you're coming to the altar this morning, I want you to sing it. Sing it with me. My soul escapes like a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and I have escaped. My help is in the name of the Lord. The snare is broken and I have escaped. My help is in the name of the Lord. God set you free from that snare. Come on down here this morning and tell him about it. Tell him how blessed you are and how much you care for him and what he's done for you. Don't sit in your pew this morning. Move on out this morning. Let God bless your soul. Don't let the enemy of your soul rob you today of a blessing. Let God touch your heart and your life. I've stood where you are. I've gripped the back of the pew till my knuckles turn white. I've been there. God said you can refuse him if you want to, but the next time it's going to get a little bit harder and a little bit harder and a little bit harder. Every time you reject him, it's going to get a little harder. That's what his word says. I'm giving you what the word of God says today. If you can't trust the word of God and believe the word of God, I can't help you. Come on up. Come on, church. Come on up and give God some praise. I know you want to get out of here. Praise God. Lord, you're so good to us. Take a little time for the Lord this morning. Take a little time. How about some of you musicians coming up here this morning? Let's sing out Amazing Grace again. Praise God. Hallelujah. My chains are gone. I have been set free. Free from what? Free from sin. Free from depression and anxiety. Hallelujah. God has set you free. Thank God for setting me free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the love that you have for me, Father, this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for being with me this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the message, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
My God, my Savior, has has ransomed me.
Hallelujah.
And like a flood,
yes, praise God,
his mercy,
yes,
is unending love. Amazing grace. The earth shall soon,
oh, yes,
dissolve.
The elements gonna melt with a fervent heat. Hallelujah.
The sun's
not gonna shine anymore. We won't need the sun, because we have the Son of God, the light of the world. Hallelujah. Yes, praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Will be forever.
Set free this morning? Yes, indeed. Hallelujah. God has set us free. Praise God. Yes, indeed. There's an old hymn we used to sing in the church years ago. He set me free. How many of you remember that song? Well, let's sing it this morning. I'm telling you, there's joy in this old church house today. People are giving God praise and glory for what he's brought them out of and where he's brought them to. Think about it. Where were you go? Where were you a year ago, or 20 years ago, or 30 years ago? And where are you today with Jesus Christ? God's kept his promise, hasn't he? Yes, he has. Amen. Let's sing it. Worship team. Oh, him. He set me free. Praise God. It's all right to clap your hands. You want to stomp your foot and slap your knee, that's fine too. Hallelujah. Glory to God!
Your ground, and glory to God, I'm homeward bound. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not a to see. Glory to God, he set me free. Just glory to God, he set me free.
Woo! Praise God! Yeah. Give him some praise this morning. Hallelujah! I'm telling you. Oh, I've seen some of you smile. You hadn't smiled in a long time. You look like a Chessie cat. You got a smile. When you go to the restaurant today, I hope somebody looks at you and says, what are you smiling about? I hope God puts you in somebody's path today. You can tell them, said, I've been in the presence of the Lord today. Hallelujah. God has set me free. Praise his holy name. Yes, indeed. People will do that. I was walking down the sidewalk at Walmart one day. One woman said, "Man, what a glow on your face and a smile. I wish I had it." I said, "Honey, you can have it. Just give your life to Jesus." Praise God. I'm true. You will consider yourself dismissed. Praise God. Let's have some old-fashioned neck hugging and handshaking before you go.